Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's Saturday, which means it's time for the Q&A podcast with me, Adam Boltwood, the one and only Lawrence McKenna.
Saturday.
And the stat man himself, Dave O'Brien.
Or is it Sunday?
No, it depends on the day you listen.
No, it's definitely Saturday. Thank you very much for listening. Welcome to the podcast. Before we get into it, let's do a little comment of the week on the old iTunes review. We've got a comment here. Danster900. Wonderful username there. Great podcast with extremely intelligent analysis, despite the obsession with Busquets, who is the most overrated football player of the present day.
Whoa! Oh, Dave.
Whoa,
buddy. I mean, you've offended Dave O'Brien massively there, Danster.
But you still gave it 5 stars, right?
Yeah, he still gave it 5 stars. That's all I've asked.
It's all right. He can think my opinions are rubbish. That's fair play to him.
So, before we get into the question, guys, let's talk a little bit about the Champions League. The draw was made yesterday. Some interesting ties, Lawrence. Depending on your opinion, the tastiest of which may well be PSG Man City.
It's pretty tasty, isn't it? You would have rather Man City got knocked out by Munich this year. But at least, yeah, you're right. They look evenly matched in that sense, that they're both sort of underwhelming sides in Europe right now. And I think that gives them an occasion to play up to.
I like the look of PSG. I said this to Dave yesterday. I said that I feel like PSG finally looked like they could go all the way, if not win the competition. They look like a team that could at least go to the final. I like the look.
Really?
Yeah. Why not? I think PSG are going to beat Man City.
I think they'll beat Man City, but I can't see PSG beating a Barcelona or a Munich or if PSG had been drawn against Benfica, I'd have worried a little bit. Because
really?
I think there's tactical fallibility about them. There are all sorts of huge questions over the motivation of the team and the way they play out.
I think there's more of those question marks over Man City. But as you say, they're probably going to go through against Man City. Dave, you'd agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously Man City have lost Vincent Kompany again to a calf injury, so that's a massive loss, and the defence doesn't look the same without him. Classic. I think they are, with Wilfred Bonny in the side as well. I think they've got a lot of questions. Pellegrini's tenure is coming to an end, but there's a lot of questions. You know, Edin Dzeko, letting him go in the summer, he probably would be starting right now.
Wow.
Bonny's bang out of form. Aguero looks like he needs a bit of a partner. Silva's not in the greatest form at the moment, so there's some mismanagement of the club. But then obviously they're coaching for the Guardiola type player, so Dzeko won't fit there at all.
What about Barcelona versus Atletico Madrid? That's another tasty one. Now, of course, Barcelona have won the last 6 fixtures.
Yeah, people are talking about working them out.
Exactly. Yeah. Now, obviously Atletico Madrid have got an extremely strong defence, but anyone is going to struggle to contain the front three. Great podcast.
I agree. I think, again, in knockout competition, there's always the potential for things to change because it does change, the immediacy of the motivation, those sort of things. I think that's what Simeone is going to be relying on, being the kind of coach that he is.
So do you think Atletico are going to do it, Lawrence?
No, I think Barca. But I still think that they'll make a fist of it.
Yeah, Yeah, I have to agree there. Barcelona are going to go through to that one, I think. The other tie, Bayern Munich v Benfica. You mentioned Benfica
through.
Benfica.
My God. You think Benfica are going through?
Come on, Benfica.
Dave, this was the worst draw for Benfica. There were. I mean,
yeah,
they were going into, you know, they could have drawn someone like Wolfsburg.
Yeah, if they got Wolfsburg, Man City or PSG, that would have been tasty. But I think Guardiola did show that he's got to, you know, even if you do beat him, you know, you're 2-0 up half time. And he'll cut your balls off, you know, and then you're sort of out, aren't you?
I don't quite get how that is sort of actual motivation, because obviously the player said, oh, you know, he took us in at half time, he said I cut his balls off. I was like, yeah, but he's not actually going to do that. So what does that
he's
mean?
Not literally going, yeah. He's not actually going to do it, lads. It's fine.
It's actually in your contract. I'm allowed to cut your balls off.
The final tie to discuss is, of course, Wolfsburg versus Real Madrid. Now, Dave, Palmy thinks Wolfsburg are going to go through in this one. They're going to do it.
Yeah, we obviously discussed this on the Football Republic, but unfortunately, Adam, I'm not with you here. I think it's going to be Ronaldo and the gang, because I think what Zidane's done in the last few games is he's been playing Casemiro and Vasquez, two players I feel that need to be in that side just to give them a bit of balance. They've got all these, you know, Galacticos, and they need these players, they need the workers in the team, and those two, especially on the right flank, when Vasquez came on against Roma, completely changed the game because he offered something different. He was playing as a natural winger. First thing he did, do a few step overs, beat his fullback, and get across the ball into the box and create a goal. So I think that he's massively key to this. Same with Casemiro, you know, I've raved about him all season, he needs to be in there for his physicality. So I think that if Zidane can sort of, you know, get these right players in the team, then, you know, I think they'll smash Wolfsburg.
So, essentially, the consensus is we're going for Real Madrid, Munich, Barcelona and Paris to be our semi-finalists.
Oh, what a depressing...
it feels slightly predictable. It feels slightly uninteresting.
But then that is why, Adam, this season, the Europa League is so
good. Oh, yes, of course, Liverpool drew Dortmund.
Rubbish. Overrated, right?
Lawrence, Liverpool drew Dortmund.
Yes, but they won Manchester United, so that's the more important thing.
They won.
Lawrence, it was actually a draw, mate. 1-1.
It was a draw.
You're right, Dave, but aggregate is important here, and Liverpool didn't need to rely on away goals. They just smashed them.
Because
United were a really poor side.
Yeah, you gents were obviously out of the game.
Yeah.
Dave, how was the old... How was the old atmosphere? I can imagine it was slightly
hostile.
After
and then, no, it was, so basically, what happened after, like, it was like 15 minutes to go, and I think all the United fans gave up and started having a bit of a laugh.
Really?
In the Stretford end, yeah. Obviously, it kicked off in the East End near where I was sat, but they were having a laugh in the Stretford end singing songs and having a good.
Near where you were stood. That's.
Near why I was sat. I was in the northeast quadrant, Lawrence, and it kicked off in the East Stand, second tier, because some Liverpool fans had got tickets in the Manchester United end and released a banner with 10 minutes to go, which is pretty crazy. I wouldn't recommend doing that, but obviously this fella thought it was the clever thing to do. So,
what did the banner say, Dave?
I'm not sure. It wasn't a bad banner. It was just a Liverpool banner, wasn't it?
So technically, it was a bad banner for you.
It does feel like the season's over, though, Dave.
Oh yeah, it's dead, isn't it? West Ham are going to beat us 2-1 at their ground, and that'll be it.
Speaking of seasons being over, you've got Man City on Sunday, Dave. Obviously, not the biggest derby going on that day.
Nope.
But it's difficult to see past Manuel Pellegrini's team, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd say so. But then again, they've, like we mentioned in the preview to the Champions League draw, they've lost Vincent Kompany. So we don't know who's going to turn up there. You know, who's going to play up front for City? There's a lot of questions. Who's going to play out wide? Their fullbacks are utter garbage. But saying that, Man United are just utter garbage. I think it's like David De Gea needs to be sold to show the world that they just can't defend.
He saved United on.
It's like four or five saves again. There's the one on Coutinho that was just unbelievable. They got down so quickly and so well. But again, he stopped it being a cricket score. And I worry that it could be against, you know, if Man City fancy it. Obviously, Aguero scored, I think he scored 8-8 against United since he's joined Man City. So he's obviously a massive danger. You know, Torre, I think he's half fit, half not fit. So he could just turn up and he loves scoring against Man United, running past Michael Carrick. But it's just, there's so many questions in this United team. But it probably, you don't even know who's going to play. That's the worst thing about this team is that is so inconsistent with everything that the selection is even like, you know, I couldn't predict the starting 11. Full stop.
Still start for Man City?
Because Fellaini was actually really good at destroying a lot of things that Liverpool did the other day.
Fair play to him. He gets away with those elbows. Fair play to him.
Yeah, no, he really does.
The real game though, Lawrence, is Newcastle versus Sunderland. That is the real game on Sunday. Infamously, Newcastle lost 6 in a row of the time we're derbies.
That's time for that to end now, Adam.
But it's time for it to end, is it not?
Yeah. Time for that to end.
I've got a feeling Rafa Benitez is gonna lead his men to victory.
Well, I've got a feeling it could go a couple of different ways. Rafa has a horrible habit of being caught out by people that he most dislikes or sort of most butts heads with.
Mm.
So either it's going to go that it's sort of like a typical Sam Allardyce performance and Rafa's going to be left really frustrated, or it's going to be like, oh my God, this Newcastle team are playing like gods. And they're like, you know, going around them and they're putting in the hard tackles where they need to, and Rafa sort of managed to motivate them. He's doubled up on training for them, and you know, I think he's really trying to drill certain aspects of the game into them that he knows they're going to need. And you know, I imagine that can be quite motivational for the players at this point. So let's see if this new manager bump that we saw against Leicester can continue.
Dave, do you believe in the new manager bump for Rafa Benitez?
No, I believe in Sam Allardyce.
And his
wonderful defensive positioning. Yeah, I think Sunderland are going to tear them apart. I think Kazawi's come in and looked really good. You know, his delivery from set pieces is excellent. It really is. And it's something that a team like a Sam Allardyce team, if you've got someone that can take free kicks from wide areas and corners, you're onto a real winner there. And he's been really good. He showed he can work hard as well. Created chances since he's joined Sunderland. Phil, it's just, I think this Sunderland team, I think they're going to stay up. You know, Jermaine Defoe showed great form in 2016. Only Jermaine Defoe scored more goals than him. So it's one of those things where, it's too soon for Rafa, definitely, for a game of this magnitude. But I suppose every game that they're going to play until the end of the season is going to be at this magnitude. So it's going to be tough, very tough for Rafa Benitez and Newcastle. I think they've still got a little bit of a mess in midfield. They need to kind of sort out who's going there. They've got a mess at left back. Obviously, Jack Colback played there at the weekend and was pretty rubbish. So there's too many questions, really.
Mm, let's get into the questions then, guys.
Great. That's
the best part of the week. So Ellie Flynn Watterson has submitted a little questionnaire. She said, "Hi, Adam, big fan of the podcast. Always good to hear. Was interested in that team of double-barreled named players from the episode last week, sent in by Matt Vitello. Thank you very much, Matt. I've developed my own unique team of using players with alliteration in their names.
Wow. Nice.
Managed by Zinedine Zidane, playing at the Allianz Arena. The team includes Victor Valdez, Paul Pogba, Danny Drinkwater, Scott Sinclair, Craig Cathcart, Stefan Sessegnon, and of course Didier Drogba. Just wondering if you lads could think of any others to build on for the show."
There are probably quite a few out there, aren't there?
I mean, I'm thinking of the classics. I'm thinking Emmanuel Abue has got to be.
Oh yeah, he's there. He's right back, right?
We're talking about the classics now. He has got to be in that team. Steve Sidwell. I mean, a wonderful player. He's got to be in the team. You saying no?
Nice. Yeah. Can we have JJ Okocha?
So good they named him twice. It's not technically alliterative.
Well, technically that is alliterative because it is two J's back to back, Adam.
Literally his surname has a different starting letter than his first name.
No. It's still alliteration.
Literally.
Spit that your pie.
I don't think
J so. And then J. That is alliterative.
You're not thinking of the classic times. You're not thinking of Sebastian Squillaci.
How long have you had this question for, Adam? Okay, so you gave yourself a good week to do it, but you're apparently,
apparently 12 hours is what it says on the old message.
The only thing I can think of is Michael Mancian, you know, the lad that used to play for Chelsea. That's it.
I mean, you've got Michael Mancian, you've got...
guys, come on, there's a really good one.
Oh, Daniel D. Rossi. Can I go down Lawrence's...
Daniele De Rossi is a good one. Or, Dave, could you go down the route of Adebayo Akinfenwa?
Ooh, I love it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Emenike? Yes, here we go.
Damien Duff.
Oh.
I mean, we're not going to get any better than that.
And down that route, guys, we could also go David De Gea.
Mm. Yeah, fair point.
I don't think that counts. But
what about Frank Lampard?
I'm just being a stickler.
Stephen Gerrard, Jamie Carragher, the best one of all time, Gary Goals.
Gary Goals, yes.
Gary Goals up front. I love it. Ellie, thank you very much for your question. Next question here from Tegolazzo. He said, "Why do you like my questions but never say
Scott
them in
Sinclair.
The podcast?"
Oh.
It's a good question. So I'm going to rectify that now by answering three of your questions.
Stefan, you're assessing your
fire session. Okay. Lawrence.
Yeah.
What ideal qualities do you seek in a good goalkeeper?
Mentality.
I love it. Dave, do you
Kingsley Coman.
It's not alliterative. Coman. It's literally got different letters.
It's onomatopoeically alliterative.
Yeah.
No.
Ellie didn't say an onomatopoeic team. She said alliterative.
Onomatopoeic team would be that. Now that would be a massive achievement if someone can make
now
a
we're talking.
That sounds like football.
Dave, do you think the fact that LVG has most of his preferred players injured makes Manchester United a more robust / attacking team?
I don't think it matters with him anymore, really, to be quite honest. He's just lost it, he really has. No matter who's injured, who's not injured, he doesn't get life. I think he's done.
I think he's now trying
to just wind the United fans up.
Damien Delaney.
Spurs.
Danny Drinkwater. Come on.
I was in the original team, Lawrence. That was sent
in. The original.
I wasn't listening at that point. I was too busy thinking.
Tegolazzo's third question said, "Are Spurs becoming the English Atletico?"
Heide Helgerson.
Is Poch the BPL's Simeone?
No. Next.
Now, what does he mean by that?
One game, he's getting a lot out of players that potentially weren't seen to be title contenders. The pressing style is similar, but I think there's quite a few differences in style. The Atletico team is very direct. They cross the ball a lot. I think Spurs are a bit better in possession of the ball. Well, not better. They're just different with possession of the ball. You know, no offense to Atletico, but it's quite an old English style where Spurs, I think, is a little bit more continental.
Question here from Don't Mess With Murphy, or Don't Mess Wit Murphy, at Jacob Enoch on Twitter. He said, "What's your favourite TV show?" Mine is The Wire.
The Wire's a good one, isn't it?
Favourite TV show? I think it's probably potentially the best TV show of all time. And it's a boring answer, I'm sorry. It's Breaking Bad. There's really? No B in Breaking Bad.
Yeah, that is.
No, yeah, there is, mate. Boardwalk Empire.
Jermaine Genius. Jermaine Genius.
Keep dropping them in lines as we go. Keep dropping them in.
Kai Kamara, come on.
Oh. Damien Ndoye, whatever he's called.
Guys, and of course, fuck you, David De Gea. You see Jasker Linen. Yes.
Oh. He starts and go.
Oh, wait. No. When you get in a roll, you really get in a roll. This one's one of the best Premier League players of all time. Leroy Leiter.
Oh, yeah. Sniper.
Who remembers Leroy Leiter?
Oh, yeah,
he was bang average.
He was quality, Dave. He was one of those quality players.
Dave, your favourite TV show is Boardwalk Empire.
Yes.
Are you kidding?
For sure. Have you ever seen it? Lawrence, have you watched the whole thing?
Yes, I've seen it.
It's really good.
Yeah, but it's not the best TV show of all time.
To be fair, the question was your favourite TV show. It doesn't have to be the best TV show.
Yeah, Lawrence.
It has to be your favourite. And Dave
is my favourite.
A valid opinion. Lawrence, what is your favourite TV show?
Oh, it's going to be like a documentary or something, isn't it?
Oh, you're so soft, mate.
So,
what are you accusing me of, Dave?
Your favourite TV show is a documentary, Lawrence.
Just trying to think now.
Your favourite. It's got to be the favourite.
Let me flip it on you then. What's your favourite online show? What's the thing that you like to watch most on YouTube and things like that?
My God.
My God.
My favourite online show.
It's got to be Dave Talks, hasn't it?
Probably. No, definitely not that.
I do enjoy a bit
That's
of Dave Talks.
That's the opposite of my favourite online show.
My most hated.
My most hated online show is Dave Talks. Because as we think around, like, lads, let's film. And Dave's like, I'm busy. And then up pops on his channel 20 minutes later, a fucking video.
He just talks about football with the skyline in the background. It's unbearable.
The skyline's probably the best bit of the show. Sometimes I put it on mute and just watch the skyline.
Just stare at the skyline. Lawrence, your favourite TV show, you haven't said yet. You're saying it's a documentary.
It's probably series one of Catfish on MTV, Adam.
a good choice, a solid choice.
My favourite online show is Casey Neistat's vlog.
I tell you what, Casey Neistat, that man, he can edit a good YouTube video, to be fair to him. At Sanchez Assists, thank you very much for your question. He said, if your favourite clubs could get any player on loan for one season, who would it be? I'm an Arsenal fan, and I would pick Suarez.
Yeah, I'd probably take Suarez back at this.
It's difficult to look past Suarez, isn't it? Messi, the Neymars, it's difficult to look past that front three. If we were to discount them, though, Dave, who would you take on loan at Manchester United? Think about what positions they really need strengthening in. One season loan.
Paul Pogba.
I mean, he's
Dave, are you still playing the game? Or
yeah. He's still in the alliterative formula. Lawrence, what about you?
I'd go down the route of Xabi Alonso for a start. I want someone to control moving. I'd probably go for someone who can break play. I would like to see Vidal playing at Liverpool. I think that would be interesting.
An unbelievable thing. I think for us, Spurs need a goal scorer. And who is
it's got to be that Olivier Giroud, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be. I was thinking more Robert Lewandowski, but I mean, Giroud is a wonderful choice. Mate,
that would be
unreal. Oof.
I'd also love to see Lewandowski at Liverpool now because obviously the Klopp link.
Here's an interesting question from Kadim at Janka Kadim on Twitter.
Andre Arshavin.
What would your first 11 of Germany at the Euros be if all fit? What formation should they use? Weigl in or Weigl out? Dave.
Weigl in, definitely.
Weigl
probably
in.
Obviously Neuer.
Obviously Neuer.
I think they'll play a number of different systems based on the opponents, right? They'll play the 4-2-3-1. If they want to have four attackers or if they want control, I reckon they'll play a 4-3-3. But should we start the team? Neuer in goal, obviously.
Neuer in goal. Mm-hmm. Simple, easy.
Go on.
Then centre-back, Boateng, Hummels.
Boateng and Hummels, yeah. Simple. Do you still put Lahm out there, Dave?
He's retired, doesn't he?
Yeah, I know. That sounds
I'm just trying to think of the full-backs. Sticky. It was Howard has played at the World Cup, didn't he, at left-back and was quite good. But I think you're going to need some attacking potential on that right side. Ginter's had a very good season for Dortmund, so he could potentially play there. So maybe we'll go with Ginter. 2 seconds. Let me just quickly Ginter. Check. I'm not forgetting anyone else.
I'm trying to think on who we would be forgetting.
Oh, I don't think we are forgetting anyone.
Germany starting 11 for Euro.
What formation did we say?
We'll play a 4-3-3.
I tell you what, Germany have got an unbelievable choice of midfielders. We're talking Emre Can could go. We're talking Draxler. We're talking Götze, Gundogan, Kadira, Kroos, Özil. It's unreal.
The Royce.
The stacked, as you might say. Royce. Exactly. Andre Schürrle. Or Schürrle. Yeah. Dave.
Yeah, definitely. So back to the team. Matthias Ginter, definitely a right back.
Yeah.
And Weigl holding.
What about Hector, Dave?
Hector. The lad that played Jonas Hector.
Yeah.
He's a left back, I think.
Yeah.
We've already got, we're going to go Howardes at left back.
Okay,
right?
fair enough.
Herveders. And in midfield, do we go into midfield?
Fucking difficult. I mean, like I said, there's so many choices.
Shit.
Chan.
If you want some balance, you've got to go for like either Chan or Gundogan in there to give a little bit of.
I think we'll go Weigl, Kroos, Schweinsteiger.
Schweinsteiger.
He's the captain. That's the only way, reason why, because he's the captain, right? He's going to start.
Okay, and who's on the flanks? Are we talking
then
about
the front three. Let's go for the front three. I think Mesut's going to be up there.
Oh,
yeah. Okay.
Team Muller through the middle, and
Marco.
Maybe. Marco. Let's go, Marco. Marco Royce. It's going to be intense. That team.
That's going to be a good side.
I think there's a reason Germany are one of the favourites for the Euros. I think we've seen their why.
We've not even thought about Leroy Sané as well.
Ooh,
Jeez Louise.
Cheese and rice. Alia on Twitter said, will the winner of Dortmund versus Liverpool, she used the hashtag there, very nice, win the Europa League, or can Sevilla win it for the first time?
I would love
running?
It if whoever goes through from that tie, because they always go, well, you know, I hope they're going to win the competition. Sevilla just really mess them up in the next round.
I think Sevilla have been in this stage three times, so they've got to the quarterfinals, and every time they've gone on to win it. They're 13 games unbeaten at home in La Liga, having faced both Barca and Real Madrid,
which is great. That's really strong. Good. That's good, Adam.
It's good. Harry said, if you could pick one player, one Villa player for your respective clubs, who would it be and why? At HJD Cornish, thank you very much for your question. If you could pick one Villa player now, I think...
Idrissi Gueye, definitely.
Really? Who, Dave? Really?
Idrissi Gueye, yeah, he's quality. Okay. It basically, I feel, right, he's probably the same... If he'd moved to Villa, he'd moved to Leicester and Conte had gone to Villa, would have had a similar impact. Similar players in their pressing.
I think I'd probably go with Ali Sissoko.
I mean, it's the obvious answer.
Right. Stop what you're doing right now. Go on to Vimeo and search the Phantom Goal. Ali Sissoko.
My favourite.
Just to brighten your day. I'm going to go and watch it after this.
That's my favourite show, Lance. You know, it's the online show. It's that video.
I've actually walked into your office three times and
we've been watching it.
Which is, I think that's a damning.
A damning indictment
of your existence, Adam.
What about
Grealish?
What about Jack Grealish? As I was about to say, a young player, a lot of potential, sort of falling off the map a little bit this season.
Get him in the bin.
Libor Kozak.
I've always been a big fan of Mika Richards, and I felt like his potential had been unfulfilled. Now, at Villa, I feel like, I don't want to say he's found his level, but maybe he's not quite as good as I thought he was.
I reckon so.
Because I think that's unfair on players. I think.
Do you think?
Yeah, he's not under a manager I imagine he would prefer to play under at the moment. I still think Mika Richards has got a higher level than this, and for that reason he should go to the Euros.
You've gone way overboard there. You took me by surprise by saying that.
Sorry, no, you're right. You need a quality manager to do well. Probably should go to the Euros.
Yeah, no, he should start at the Euros. He should start. Shannon Andrade on Twitter says, opinions on how Arsenal can restructure over the summer. Manager change, player change, or even beyond that. Now, we've been discussing this recently in the last few weeks. It's a very interesting question about what Arsenal do next. The problem is that, and I think Arsene Wenger made reference to it himself this week, he decides when he goes. And even though maybe now the time is to go, maybe now the time is for him to step aside, it's unlikely that's going to happen.
It's unusual as well. I decide when I go. Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
Do you think you could decide that now?
Now, what do you think about the fact that, you know, obviously a lot of the fans' ire is pointing at Arsene Wenger. Some of it justified, of course. But also, the owner, Lawrence. We've had Stan Kroenke come out in the last week or so and say that, you know, a football club is not about winning championships for him. It's about running a good business. Do you think... I mean, Shannon says here, you know, are the changes beyond the manager, beyond the player, beyond the pitch? When they've got an owner like that who maybe is not too fussed about winning silverware.
He didn't want to rock the apple cart because, you know, then all your apples fall out. But I think the issue is that he's going to struggle to find another manager that's so probably easy to work with.
Yes, they obviously have a fantastic working relationship. They suit each other very well.
Well, I mean, I think Wenger's very accommodating of the people around him. And I think, you know, obviously if you've got someone running your club, you know, it only really goes one way. It's not like Wenger can kind of, you know, go, oh, would you mind moving on? So I think Wenger's had to accommodate the way that he wants to work.
It's the difficulty is if Wenger were to step aside, if he did decide to step down, who is there out there to replace him? Now, of course, Jogi Löw. Is the oft-mentioned replacement, the bookie's favourite.
Only since we mentioned him on...
Only since, yeah.
Football Republic.
I mean, they must pay a lot of attention to the Football Republic, the bookies. We've also got Ronald Koeman is the second favourite. Ronald Koeman.
Really? Second?
Literally the second favourite.
I think that shows what the list of, how long this list of men is.
And Dennis Bergkamp is the third favourite, which I think speaks volumes. But that's the thing, isn't it? If Wenger steps aside, there's not many options, Dave. There's not necessarily a ready-made replacement to step in. I mean, we've spoken about how maybe Arsenal
I just had a thought, Adam, and you're not going to like this at all.
Don't say Gary Goals.
Don't say Pochettino.
Pochettino is not... Pochettino would suit many clubs. He'd suit Arsenal. He'd suit Arsenal, United, Chelsea. He's not going, lads. The new contract, the negotiations. Let's all
with down. Arsenal.
Let's
with
all
Wenger.
Calm down, Daniel.
What would be great? Just a last little point. That what would be great, right? All these managers come into the Premier League. Pep Guardiola, Mourinho returns, and Wenger wins the league next season. That'd be so I'd funny
if they all just trip each other up, and then Wenger just sort of
sneaks through.
Yeah, it'd be lovely.
Daniel Habashi says, "Do you think Man City can overcome PSG? And is Aguero better than Zlatan and Benzema?" First part of the question: of course they can, but I don't think they will. I think PSG have got too much strength. They're going to come through in that tie. The second part of the question, is Aguero better than Zlatan and Benzema? Tempting to say yes, Dave.
I'd say Zlatan this season.
Ooh.
Is the top of that little top group of that little of tree. That little tree. But yeah, I think Zlatan this season has been excellent. Mm. The problem with Aguero, again, is his fitness, isn't it, really?
Exactly. It's a good point.
And that's
it's
the only
point.
Issue, really. That's it. You know, if Aguero was fit week in, week out, he'd be on top of that tree. But exactly. Unfortunately,
falling
he's not.
Fit. It's all about Aguero. Ismo at Ismo Williams, thank you very much for your question on Twitter, said Diego Costa or Adoris to start at the Euros.
Oh, it's got to be Adoris.
Spain don't like Costa at the moment. They didn't even pick him to go to the friendlies. So
he's somewhat finding a little bit of form, or was, I should say, for his recent indiscretions. He's finding a little bit of form under Gus Hiddink. Looking a bit more like the player we knew from last season. But to start at the year is ahead of Adoris, who's in wonderful form this season. It's always the weakness of Spain, isn't it, Dave? Up front, they've...
Yeah, massively. It's quite funny as well. Like Costa obviously could have played for a Brazil. And at a time, would have been perfect for Brazil in terms of how he pressed and the rest of the
probably
side.
Still would, Dave. They're struggling to find the striker.
Yeah, yeah. They probably still would be able to fit in there. But it's interesting that Adoris is probably, for me, he's got to be the number one choice. 100%, you know, what it gives, the physicality. But then again, it's a little bit different. It means that Spain might be able to play a few more crosses of the ball. You know, they have to be a little bit more direct. I just don't feel, that, like, obviously, Fabregas played false nine when they won the World Cup at times. I feel that potentially would have been the best option. But now they're trying to change their style a little bit. It's going to be interesting. I'd definitely go Adoris over Diego Costa. Just he's so good in the air. He's so, so good. That goal is...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Scored in the Europa League as well. What a banger.
Shrishant said, why do you think English clubs hesitate to have a club director within a club?
I just think there's a big cultural difference between, you know, what we expect in England and what people expect in Europe. And, you know, it's difficult to shift those things sometimes until you see like a good result of it. And a few people have, but very often, especially with English people, it's sort of not the same way around, is it?
There is a certain culture over here of, which is definitely changing and becoming less prevalent, of the manager controls everything. The manager should be in charge of transfers. He should, you know, oversee every aspect of the club. But there definitely is that the system of director of football or what have you coming in.
It's very difficult to shake that when in recent years you had people like Wenger, Ferguson, to some extent Mourinho and all those other people who have done very well.
But that does feel, I don't want to say outdated, but it does feel like, say, Wenger's style of management, where he is the overlord of every single aspect of the club, is not really, it's not something that's common at a lot of other Premier League clubs.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. I think it's perfectly possible in the Premier League. I just think you need the right management team to do it. And you probably need to bring over a team of people who are used to working together, prove it, and then other people pick it up.
Quabity Aschewitz, I love your name, on Twitter says...
I love the idea you're saying that wrong. Quabity. Like, it's literally Quabashewitz or like something. Or it's like Dave, you know?
He asks, the top four in order... I'm tempted to say it's going to stay the same as it is.
I think number four might drop out.
Ooh, we're thinking West Ham's going to come in. We're thinking United's going to come in.
West Ham got to be on it.
It would be fantastic to see Leicester, Tottenham and West Ham in the Champions League for England next season.
I think it will be... I mean, that's really going to harm the coefficient then, isn't it? That is a huge problem, actually, is that
I mean, potentially.
That really, having West Ham in the Champions League, having Leicester in the Champions League,
they might not be able to cope with those demands in the same way that a bigger club can. But at the same time, I mean, look at it now. Man City are the only team through to the quarterfinals. Are West Ham, Spurs, Leicester any worse than Man City?
No, I see what you're saying. But at the same time, you know, you look at those teams in one of those groups and you sort of think, how much do West Ham strike fear into the likes of, you know, an Ajax or someone like that?
Maybe that's to their benefit, though. The surprise package, almost.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, there's no, you know, at the beginning of a cup competition, any team can win it, but it doesn't mean they will. It would be lovely to see a run for those guys.
Honestly,
I don't want to see them there. Sure, I actually think that United will overcome City. Within 1 point, and I think City will slip.
Ooh, so you think United are going to finish in top four?
Yeah.
My God. On a similar theme, Shannon Andrade says, can Liverpool and West Ham really top Arsenal and City to finish in the top four?
Yes, they can.
But you're saying no there. You're saying it's going to be United.
Yeah. I think Liverpool in the end will finish just sixth.
Just outside. Dave, are Man United going to finish in the top four? I do not see this happening.
No, thanks, Lawrence. It's nice of you to try and pick me up after the week I've had. But
it was a pity answer from Lawrence.
Dave, what I didn't give you the other day was when I went into this box, I got a set of United golf balls.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Sick. And I was going to say I took United's balls, but the point is I still need to give you those, Dave. So either that, or we give them away on the podcast.
Oh, let's give them away.
Here is another fantastic question from the same man, Shannon Andrade. I love this question. Which team would Zlatan be suited to the most after he leaves PSG? Not just restricted to the PL, says Shannon. What is Zlatan's best choice here, Dave? Where should he be going?
I think Mourinho United works in my mind, but let's look abroad. We've spoke about the English teams, I reckon. So let's go Italy. You know, he has said that he wanted to go, you know, wants to play for AC Milan again. But right now, AC Milan wouldn't, you know, he's not going to be pushing for the Champions League. And that's probably what he's going to, you know, what he's looking for in a way. So Juventus, I don't think they want them there going down this other way of sort of getting bringing young players through at the club. So I just feel it'd be a different step for them. They did try and bring in, what was that Spanish striker that they signed last season the season before from Bilbao?
Fernando Llorente.
Llorente, yeah, that didn't quite work out. But players like Morata, Dybala, yeah, it doesn't really suit them there. Okay. Spain, he's not going to Barca. Real Madrid, do you think he would, you know, wouldn't really suit them, I don't think. What about Atletico Madrid, right? They're lacking a target man this season.
They need a striker.
Oh, yeah, no, that's true. The intensity probably doesn't work there. it doesn't... I just don't think he fits anywhere else other than the Premier League. You know, think of...
New York Red Bull.
Ooh, is he going to go straight in? Score like 5,000 goals?
I would be interested to see how... I think he still considers himself to be a little bit ahead of that league.
I don't think it's his time yet to go there.
I do want to see him pitch up in the Premier League. I mean, he's never played in the Premier League. We'd love to see him over here. Be it Liverpool, Lawrence. Be it Manchester United, Dave, as you said there. Maybe under Mourinho next season.
Do you like to see him at Spurs?
I don't think, I mean, you talk about Atletico there, you talk about the pressing. I think we need a very high energy forward at Spurs, and I don't think Zlatan is that man.
Do you think the problem for Zlatan is he has to accept what his role is going to be at a club if he does go to any team, and it's not going to be the same?
I think he may not. Is he 34 now? He may not be a starring man. But that's difficult for a player of his ego, a player of his stature, maybe to get used to. I mean, we've seen Francesco Totti, of course, is not too happy with his role at Roma, sort of being left out of the team.
Could he end up going back to Sweden?
Well, he could. He could indeed. But Totti has been linked for a move to Leicester. Now, how about that? For in the Champions League this season, Totti, the 40-year-old, starting up front.
That is just because they've taken two players from the Italian league before, which is Cambiasso and then Inler.
Lucas Oskarsson said, if you could have any player from your rival club, who would it be and why? For me, it's obvious. Alexis Sanchez, world-class player. Love to have him at Spurs. Lawrence, I suppose your rival club is Manchester United, I imagine.
Well, I'd either take Lukaku from Everton, just to mess them up, or I'd take Martial, United.
Dave, Liverpool, Man City. That's who would you take? One of those players from each team.
Aguero, and then I wouldn't take anyone from Liverpool.
You would take no one.
You would take no one from Liverpool.
No one.
You wouldn't take Coutinho.
Pathetic, no. Little man.
Pathetic, mate.
You little petty bitch.
Petty little man. Next question.
You're a sad, strange old man, and you have my pity. Farewell.
Gary Goals at Dayson 1996. Wonderful username there. Gary said, do you believe that Spurs and Leicester will challenge for the title next season? I think he means title. Will they challenge for the title next season? I think it's going to be very interesting because obviously Guardiola's coming in. A lot of people are saying already that Manchester City are going to be the favourites because of that appointment. We're yet to see whether Manchester United are going to appoint Mourinho, which could obviously have a big impact. I think Liverpool under Jurgen Klopp next season are going to be a completely different package to what they are this season. So I think it's going to be harder for Spurs and Leicester to challenge for the title next season. But I think they'll still be... there or thereabouts.
I think this is a highly unusual season. I think Spurs will still challenge for it. I wonder.
I think Leicester, like I say, a lot depends on what happens in the summer. Who are Leicester going to bring in the summer? Will they be able to attract a certain class of player, likely being the champions of England? I think that's going to be the interesting thing. Whether a player wants to go to Leicester, say, over, I don't know, United, despite the fact United may well finish outside the top four, they might not have Champions League football, United will still have a certain appeal over, say, Leicester.
So, Adam, I still find it quite funny that as a Tottenham fan, you still lack the mentality to win the league. You're not even counting yourself as challengers.
This season?
Yeah, right now. Leicester have already won the league. Let's play it down, boys.
How many games have Leicester lost this season? Three games.
They could still lose more games, though, Adam.
They could, but I think the most telling stat was we've got 8 games left, right? And of all the opponents that Leicester have got left, in the corresponding fixtures earlier in the season, they gained 20 points from those fixtures.
Okay.
Spurs gained 10 from the corresponding fixtures. Now, of course, you know, home and away matters. The pressure counts. There's different situations. Yeah. But I just think we've got to make up 5 points on Leicester in the next 8 games. We've made up 1 point in the last 10 games. So I don't think we are going to catch up with Leicester.
How many games do you tend to be able to lose to, you know, still win the title? Was it 5 or 6?
Yeah, it's around 5 and 6, I think.
Arsenal have already lost 7. Spurs have lost 4 so far. I just think Leicester are... I think Leicester are going to do it. I really do think they're going to do it.
I mean, that could also be just Adam trying to play the underdog. So, really know, Dave.
Yeah, you know, obviously the Spurs team listens to the podcast. So I don't want to, you know, I want to keep the expectations low. It's
still the butterfly effect, Adam.
What's that mean?
Well, things like, you know, the ripples...
The old rebels.
Yep, in time.
BPL, oh my God. BPL team of the season with only 1 player per team, says Benjamin. That's bloody tough. Now,
surely we pick that in a few weeks' time. That's a bit of a stupid thing to do it right now. Someone might come into an incredible run of form. Surely.
Let's do it quickly. Come on, we can do it quickly.
Right. Goalkeeper. At this moment, then. Okay, goalkeeper. Ready. Goalkeeper, David De Gea.
I suppose no other Manchester United player is going to get in the team.
So yeah, 100%.
I'm happy with that. Right back.
His last season in the Premier League as well. So.
Right back.
Yeah. Let's sell him to Real.
Right back, let's put in Bellerin. No other Arsenal players getting in this team.
Not Mezit.
You measure that one up.
I don't like Mezit.
Ooh, I'm not, I don't like him.
I'm not a I'm Mezit as a fan. Team of the season, I guess. He's in with a shout. He's in with a shout.
Yeah, considering he got the most assists in the Premier League this season.
he's just not.
I know what you mean, though, Adam. That feel, it's just not there, is it?
He doesn't turn up, you know.
Well, he does because he's had a lot of assists. But all right.
I don't think he turns up when it matters.
Yeah, okay.
He hasn't got the, in many ways, he hasn't got the mentality, Lawrence. He hasn't got the mentality. if you want to put an Erdogan, I'm happy to Bellerin then.
But well, who else would you put there?
Let me tell you a fantastic story while you think of right backs. So, Greg from Squawker went to interview Jamie Vardy for the Football Republic this week. Thank you very much, Greg. We sent him a list.
He went for the Football Republic?
He went for the Football Republic. We asked a series
of... one of your best presenters.
We asked a series of questions about, you know, 10 things you didn't know about Jamie Vardy, some questions that, you know, to find out some facts that people may not know. The question was, what is your favourite film? and Jamie Vardy said, you know, I'm a fan of the classics, so Armageddon was his response, which was, I couldn't believe, but also I could because it's Jamie Vardy.
I'm a fan of the classics. You know.
Armageddon. Potentially Michael Bay's worst
Ninja
film.
Turtles 2.
Yeah.
Transformers. Like,
what are you talking about?
Everyone's favourites. Do you mean the classics on Netflix?
Yeah.
Stone Cold Steve Austin's last movie.
Right back. Come on.
Right. We're going to go. Bellerin, who we're going to go with Seamus Coleman.
Really? Okay. Centre-backs. It's tempting to say Toby Alderweireld, one of the best centre-backs
then,
of the season.
Then you've not got Harry Kane, have you?
Exactly. This is a tough question, Benjamin Warden.
I'm going to go Van Dijk from Southampton.
Good shout. I like that. I like that a lot. What about Wes Morgan? Oh, we can't put in a fucking Leicester player. You're right. I'm answering the own question.
John Terry?
No.
What
again,
about,
I don't like John Terry.
What about... This is hard, isn't it? Is it?
Yeah, because you've got to save your picks.
Vincent Kompany, when he's been in the team.
Centre-back. What about...
someone from Stoke?
You could go with Shawcross, but he's been in and out. He was injured for a long period, and they went rubbish when he came back. They were good.
About wait for
this
it.
Is tough. Oh, hold on. Yeah, maybe that man that you've said the start of his name.
Go for it, Dave. Who are you going for?
Craig Cathcart, maybe.
Ooh.
I was gonna go what about McCauley or Olsen for West Brom? Unbreakable West Brom.
Wow. I mean, they're pretty breakable in my mind. But oh my god, that's just so tough. Because you can't put in any West Ham players because we're obviously going to put in Payet.
Should we do the rest of our team first so we can come back?
Striker. Well, no. To be fair, the obvious choice is Mahrez or Vardy.
So I'm going to go Mahrez.
Yeah, Mahrez on the right. Up front, we're talking Kane. We're talking maybe Lukaku.
Nah, we've got Seamus Coleman, so let's go with Kane.
Okay, we'll go with Kane up front. But you don't have Dele Alli in the team. Nope. I suppose him and Payet are vying for that. Similar-ish position. We're going to put in Payet, maybe in the number 10 sort of.
Let's play a front three.
Ooh.
Of Payet, Kane, and Mahrez. That would be so dirty.
Payet, Kane, Mahrez. So who is in our midfield three in that case?
Decide to keep Mezit in?
We'll put in Mezit. We can put in.
All right, so Mezit can be actually. We're going to Mezit number 10 behind the front three.
Yep, love it.
And then in midfield now.
Oh, there's not been.
So we've still got a City player.
Yeah, but I mean,
you could potentially go with Fernandinho. He's been very good.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Very good.
Is there no one from?
He's with a similar feel to Mesut.
So what we've got is Liverpool, Stoke, Chelsea, West. Oh no, West Brom's gone. Bournemouth. No, because I want to go Charlie Daniels, left back from Bournemouth.
Charlie Daniels, left back. Yeah, not. Okay. Oh, yeah, we can't put in Christian Fuchs. Fair enough. I'll give you that. But that midfield three is very difficult.
So yeah, we what Darren,
season?
Darren Fletcher.
Ooh,
really?
It's been very good.
Really,
Dave loves it, didn't he?
I do love Darren Fletcher.
Yaya Touré has not really set the world alight this season, so it's difficult to put him in.
Mbula from Stoke, but he's only come in January.
Yeah, he literally.
Glenn Whelan.
This is a really hard question. I regret asking it. I'm really sorry.
Okay, great. Well, we should have listened to Lawrence.
Yeah. We should have waited. No. Let's do it now. It'll be quick.
So, this will be easy.
Yeah. Actually, it sounds easy. It's really fucking difficult. Yeah. What about Fabregas from Chelsea? Just stick him in. He's turned around since Hoodie.
Nah.
Team of the season, that's fucking... You can't really do it.
John Obi Mikel.
John Obi. let's go for Liverpool player midfield.
But they've not been that good.
Emery Chan, stick him in.
But he hasn't been that good.
Yeah, but I mean, we're in a desperate situation. We've been talking about this for 10 minutes.
Emery Chan has been fantastic, Dave.
Jordan Henderson.
Let's put in Jordan.
No one's saying Jordan Henderson, Dave.
All right.
Everyone's Emery Chan. Saying Emery Chan.
James Emery Chan.
No one's saying James Milner. You little man.
Nathaniel Clyne.
Nathaniel Clyne's a quality right back. Dave.
Oh, my God. He got done by Martial, though.
I still don't quite... For the penalty?
Yeah, he got absolutely terrored for the whole game.
Whole game?
Yeah.
He was under such terror that Manchester United managed to get how many goals in that game?
Well, Lawrence, we scored one, which is better than a lot of games this season, so that is a positive.
You sound like LVG at this point, Dave. We played like Liverpool, yeah, except we didn't score any goals.
Fernandinho in midfield, we've got to pick a seat.
Fernandinho.
Boom. We're done. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. Benjamin Warden.
Smells terrible.
We did that really quickly. Gary Goals again. Dayson 1996 said, Payet or Mahrez? It's got to be Mahrez.
Mahrez.
I think Mahrez is an exceptional player. next question here from Andres Pereira. Not the Andres Pereira. Do you think we will see more teams use two forwards or even three centre-backs next season? Interesting question.
Yes. 100%.
Conte's coming in.
Yeah.
Exactly. Guardiola's coming in. Loves the back three.
Southampton been doing it. Who else has been doing it? There's been another team in the Premier League doing it. Didn't Big Sam go big the three at the back at one point?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For five. Van Alvel at left back.
Marcello Pep Bielsa says, is the Premier League all hype? Overrated, overhyped, tactically stale league. That's an interesting question. It's one we've talked about before on the podcast. This season in the Premier League, it's undoubtedly one of the most unpredictable, one of the most entertaining seasons we've ever seen. But there is that caveat almost that tactically it's not quite up there, is it, Dave?
Yeah, it's been poor tactically, you'd say. You'd say the teams with the most resource aren't winning, which is... In a way, it's not like a bad thing, but you'd say Leicester are very tactically have been excellent. But then you'd say the rest of the team. Oh, Poch as well. So Spurs. But then you'd say the rest of the teams have been very, very poor. Wenger's made a number of mistakes. LVG don't know what he's doing. Obviously Brendan Rodgers at the start and Klopp's coming now, so that next season we'll see that a tactical evolution there. Man City just look like headless chickens again. How much money do they spend in the summer? 150 million.
Yeah.
And they can't find a system that fits those players in. So yeah,
I think
it's been awful.
That's the thing, isn't it? It's massively exciting, and I mean, we're discussing now who's going to win the title. Is it going to be Leicester? Is it going to be Spurs? Maybe not Arsenal. But there is that lack of quality, Lawrence. But do we prefer this massively entertaining, unpredictable league to say La Liga, where it is, there's three teams in the running every season. It looks like Barcelona are going to win it this season, where it's all said and done already.
When something new comes in or something changes, you try and fit it into your current system and your current idea of what you want to sort of happen. And I think that's what we're trying to do with the Premier League right now, and trying to fit our own ideas around that. And I think we've learned a lot about, like Dave's just listed this season, the Premier League, and how there are some deficiencies or some problems there. And I think that was the case for a little while, a couple of seasons, actually. Liverpool had that incredible run, but it didn't necessarily mean they were the best team in the league. It was very entertaining to watch. So I think there's a lot to be learned from this season. And I think there are a lot of managers capable of learning in the Premier League, clearly. So I don't think it means it's deficient. I just think that it's part of the goldfish bowl, and it sort of it'll change.
Here's an interesting question from Henrik H. Svensson. He slid into the DMs on the front three on Twitter. You should do the same if you've got a good question. He said, considering Dortmund's poor season last year, how big of a job has Thomas Tuchel done this season? How does Tuchel's Dortmund differ from Klopp's Dortmund?
Well, that is a question and a half.
Dave, how big of a job has Tuchel done, first off?
Massive, massive. Completely changed the style. The style under the Klopp was, you know, high press, direct football. And he's changed it to a possession-based 4-3-3. They're so adaptable that can play, you know, three at the back if they need to. Play with two strikers. I think what we've seen is the having a defensive midfielder in there, you know, someone that's supposed to be covering the two centre backs when your full backs push on is so crucial in the modern day. And that's something that Klopp never got his head around. At the end of his Dortmund spell, where they were getting counter-attacked down the flanks and they had no cover. So, you know, switching to a back three or switching to a defensive midfielder with two centre-backs in behind is a perfect way to deal with that. Obviously, they can drop back and form a back three, which is massive. The possession play is a lot different. You know, it's far more different. They look to... It's very Barcelona-esque. They look to, you know, pull the opposition down the left and then quick switch to the right, look for the overload. And there's a lot of through balls. They score quite a lot of Barcelona-esque goals where they're played through wide, then it comes back across, like, you know, a low cross back into the area and somebody taps it in. So there's a it's been a massive change. And I feel that right now, this is the most competitive Dortmund team we've seen in probably about 2 years. You know, when Klopp went to the Champions League final and obviously lost there, they were obviously very competitive. But I felt they lost that edge because they were bringing these luxury players in, like your Marco Reus's, where they potentially didn't work as hard as what Klopp needed. And that's going to be the interesting thing this summer. Will Klopp go back to the signing players that work hard and will press very well? Or is he going to go for these bigger names in a way? Like you saw Henrik Mkhitaryan under Klopp was very, very, very poor. Couldn't score. I think he had like something like 50, 60 shots without scoring a goal this season. He's the top assister in the Bundesliga. He's looking really good, but again, a little bit hot and cold from time to time. But it's just it is a big change. Obviously, getting the best out of Aubameyang. Aubameyang sometimes just couldn't hit a barn door with under Klopp. You know, it seemed like they were playing not to his strengths. They were playing the same way that they were playing to Lewandowski. You know, playing very direct, getting the ball to him, and he's poor in the air. But obviously, what Tuchel's done is playing behind, get him to run into the channels, and it's just perfect. You know, he's a very, very pacey striker. We all know that. But he's good. He's good in wide areas. He can cross. He can beat a man. So it's one of those things where it's a complete polar opposite of the side. And to do that in what, 9 months is incredible.
Here is a fantastic question from Oskari Kajava. If Dave becomes Manchester United manager, will he remove beans from Fellaini's diet so there is nothing special about him? I'm not sure what's going on there, but
the beans are getting taken out. Fellaini's going to be put with the reserves till we sell him for free.
Here's a great question from Faruha. What's your most favourite football advert? For Faruha, it's Beckham v Casillas in the Pepsi ad. Now surely it's hard to look past the old Nike ad, the free on free.
Yeah, that was
In the cargo ship. Cantona's dropping the ball down. I mean, that was a peak. That was peak football.
There was also the one where it was Portugal versus Brazil inside that stadium. It was like Ronaldinho, Robinho, Ronaldo, Figo.
That was
the one where they grab the neck and they're like, ole.
the Brazilian national team in the airport one. That was pretty good as well.
That was all right, yeah.
No, that's my favourite.
And then he hits the post, Lawrence. Ronaldo hits the post or something.
For me, it's the cage one or the one. There was a great series of. You remember when the Jogger Benito one started?
Yeah.
That was with Thierry Henry, and those were good. Those were good adverts.
Good. John Routledge.
The one where he opens the door and United are waiting outside. Do you remember that one? And they're like, boo.
Or the one where Cantona was up against the devil. That was another Nike advert. Was he up against the devil? What does he say? He like flicks his collar up and he says... Au revoir.
Au revoir, yeah.
Flicks up the collar and he says au revoir to the devil, essentially. That was a good advert. Good old Nike. They made some good adverts back in the day.
Left Manchester United, so he said au revoir.
Au revoir. John Routledge says bonjour, and he says favourite moments you've seen for your clubs, i.e. Istanbul. No, you've had far more success at your clubs than I have. Is Istanbul the greatest, your favourite moment, Lawrence, that you've seen for Liverpool?
I've seen a lot of good ones. Probably, yeah. Just the one that I lived through.
Dave, what's your favourite moment? Was it Liverpool getting... was it Thursday night?
Well, Thursday night was good. That was one of the best goals I've seen scored against Manchester United ever. Credit to Philip Coutinho. But it's got to be Wembley, 2013. United have just lost the greatest manager of all time. David Moyes comes in. 3-1 against Wigan at Wembley to lift the Community Shield.
I was
the
there.
Last trophy we've won. What
unreal.
A game.
Unreal. Wigan. It's a massive challenge. For me, my favourite moment, it has to be that season when Spurs got in the Champions League. Was a massive moment. And going away to Inter Milan, we were getting absolutely smashed. Gareth Bale all of a sudden turns up, bangs in 3 ridiculous goals. But, of course, we still lost. But that return leg, we knew. We knew we had them. And, of course, Gareth Bale destroyed Maicon. That was the game where, for once, Spurs were good. And, obviously, this season, that is the standard. But back then, it was kind of like, my God, what is happening here? Spurs are actually beating a team with history, a team of a certain class. And Gareth Bale was exceptional. So I think that's got to be my favourite moment. Apart from Peter Crouch, of course, heading in against Man City to get his qualification for the Champions League, which is obviously a massive moment in itself. But next question here from Michael Hamburg. Oh, no. Who would make your team of the year, only including aged 30? Let's not answer that question. Sam Nash said, the Nashinator. Who do you think would be the ideal replacement for Roy Hodgson once he leaves? What do you reckon, Lawrence?
Eddie Howe. No.
Who would be the ideal replacement for Roy?
What is ideal?
I mean, Alan Pardew in many ways is ideal.
Not really. I'm really struggling to think of someone that I would like to see take over from Hodgson outside of Eddie Howe.
Difficult question, isn't it?
Brendan Rodgers.
No.
No. I've heard that.
I mean, that's fine, but I just think, you know, people speak about them needing to be a certain kind of manager, certain age, those sorts of things. Don't make it Brendan Rodgers. Just don't make it Brendan Rodgers.
Just don't do it.
Also, why would Brendan want that? Like, it's just a thankless job being the England manager.
Final question. Man like Martial at Kazim 134 said, Thomas Muller, underrated?
100%.
He's not underrated. He's rated. Anyway, listen, thank you very much for listening to this week's The Front Free Q&A podcast. Somewhat exciting announcement I've got here. I have got a free copy of Football Manager 2016 to give away.
Really?
I'd love to give it away to one of the listeners. The question is, Lawrence, the question is, Dave, how do we give this game away?
Very good question.
The best review on iTunes.
Oh, the best new review on
the
iTunes.
The best new review.
So any review starting from Saturday at this time gets a free copy of Football Manager.
Go
on. Adam, if you've already reviewed the podcast,
you need to review it again. You need to do it again. Type in The Front Free on your podcast app, rate the podcast, and leave us a review. Our favourite review is going to get a free copy of Football Manager. If you've already left a review, and you wonderful people already have, slide into our DMs. Let us know. Say, I've left a review already. I would still love to win the copy. We'll take that into consideration, and we'll read the previous review. But if you want to be in of a chance of winning Football Manager, get your reviews in now for The Front Free. Oh,
very good, Adam. Very, very good.
Very diplomatic. Until next time, Dave... The people can follow you where?
Squawker.com.
Oh.
And also go onto Twitter. Do a little at Squawker Dave. Press a little follow and then send me a like something nice like, hi Dave, just followed you.
Have a nice day.
Slide into his DMs. Lawrence? Yeah.
Dave, is that interview with Rio Ferdinand out yet?
It's supposed to be out today. It was supposed to be out yesterday. I don't know what happened.
No one told us, Dave. I'm going to edit this out. No one told us about that. So it's not going up today.
Oh, when's it going up, Adam?
Next week, probably.
Great. You fucking what?
No one's, apart from your illicit communications, no one told us to put that interview up. So,
oh, the communication between the two companies is pathetic.
It's bad, isn't it? It's bad. Yeah,
so shit.
Until next time, Lawrence, where can the good people, where can the whole find you?
Lozcast, LOZCAST.
Lovely. You can follow me on Twitter at Adam Bolwood, please do. Or come to YouTube, type in the Football Republic, and check us all out.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
There. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you on Wednesday. Remember to get in those reviews.
See ya.